I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. So I'm here with Gary Sanchez. He's a 2013 New Mexico Sports Hall of Fame inductee. He has 5 state track championships, 6-time runner-up, 6 third-place finishes, all with Highland High School, 121 gold medal athletes, several Coach of the Year awards, coached cross-country, swimming, and football, as well as the track and field. And I'll have a link to the New Mexico Hall of Fame website to read all of your accolades. But is there anything I'm missing or that you'd want to talk about?
Oh, just that the pleasure of being a coach and working with kids. You know, you mentioned 121. I mean, part of that's relays, and it's just kids being on the stand. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes a coach proud many times.
I think that's a great way to look at that, is the experiences you get as a coach from everyone you coach.
Yes, it means a lot, and especially when you're, in my case, you know, as I'm done coaching for the most part, you look back at many of those things that you can say, hey, I was proud of that, and I hope they were also.
That's great. You know, I think I know the answer based on who you were inducted into the New Mexico Hall of Fame with, but how did you get into coaching?
Through my dad, Henry Sanchez, who I was inducted with. He was always a coach at Highland High School. From the time I was young enough to really know what he was doing, I would go to Highland High School and watch whether it would be basketball, football, and track, you know, just watch those kids and watch him coach and just listen to him as he was here. So I was always involved with Highland.
But you didn't go to Highland High School, right?
Went to Del Norte because, you know, there was no, as now, there was no first choice. There was no, I'm going to go to this school, I'm going to go follow that coach. You went to the school, whatever boundary or district you were in, that was a school that you went to. And there wasn't near the leeway of, okay, I'm going to go here. There weren't any rules, choices, or so on. So, you know, you were with your kids, you were with your peers,
right,
your friends, and that's, you know, generally pretty much where you went. There were some close cuts on boundaries. If you're on a YAFL team, so there weren't a whole bunch. So, you know, you'd play with different kids, but you'd still go to your school.
Was that hard to be at a different school from your dad, or did you kind of enjoy that freedom a little bit?
No, and it wasn't really freedom to me. It was just the expectation that I was going to Del Norte and he was going to coach at Highland. The thing that was beneficial for me is I had some great coaches at Del Norte and great teammates. So if I ever needed help, I was getting help from those coaches. And then I'd always have my dad always help me later. And he used to.
What did that feel like? I guess I'm sure you competed against some of his teams.
Oh, all the time. He was just track coach. He was a football at one time and cross country. And then During the time that I was at Del Norte, we finished ahead of them. So, I mean, it was close, and a lot of his athletes were my friends. So we had it was an enjoyable competition.
I think that can be good to be, I think, close with your competitors and have that friendly rivalry.
I mean, I did cross country, did football. Played football, and those are the people that you compete against, and you have to compete hard.
Right.
And if it's track, you have to compete hard. But during that time when I was coaching track, I'd tell the guys, especially like the weightmen, you know, you're going to be out, come on out. You're going to be competing against those guys that you go toe-to-toe in the line. And get out to know them. Get to know their strengths or weaknesses and find out what they're like. And, you know, you're going to eventually start talking. You guys are going to get along or not, you know, or, you know, that's my competitor. And then, you know, that next year, if you're playing against them, you're in the trenches with them. But you know them and you respect them. And it makes you better.
I 100% agree with that. I think you definitely gain more from knowing your opponent and being friendly with them than you do hating them and wanting to.
Yeah, I mean, you may not hang out with them, but there's that feel of mutual respect. And obviously, you want to get the better of them.
Right.
Okay, so... And you know this. You competed against high school kids, and right. Look at you, Robertson, Vegas. You know, yeah. two extreme rivals.
Very.
And all of a sudden, later you go to UNM or Fort Lewis or wherever. You're just out, and you know these people, and you know you may be working with them later, and who knows? They may be hiring you, or you may be hiring them. So.
Right. You're right. It definitely changes that rivalry can seem so intense in high school and afterward. There's a lot more respect.
Yeah. You know, it's a game. It's highly competitive. It's the things that the work you do to strive to make yourself better that carries on later in life.
That's awesome. I think that's great that you were instilling this in your athletes as well.
Hopefully. You know, I mean, that's what we hope that we do.
We never know for sure.
No, but you'll see those things. One of the, you know, we all want that as coaches, but one of the things we've seen some of our kids not do real well. And I think that hurts. That hurts me most. That my dad said that too. You know, when you have an athlete that, you know, has had some trouble in their life, and you know, it kind of burdens us a little bit, and we say, you know, where did I not help him enough or her? So,
right. I think any coach or educator goes to that. The kids become like their own.
Yeah, I mean, we know that we let them go after practice, but we know for that 2.5-3 hours that we have some things we need to get done.
Right. So when you first started coaching, you were working with your dad, you were his assistant. Mm-hmm. What was that like working with him?
Well, I mean, you know, being young and me not knowing much and only knowing things through the part of being an athlete, not really as a teacher, as an educator, as in a coach. You're trying to learn things. You know, I probably thought I knew a lot more than I did.
Right.
But with him, he was able to calm, and he never really had to, but he was able to teach me and give me, he'd set boundaries. He'd give me things to do. He never... you know, gave me a piece of paper and said, you have to do this. He would say, go coach and teach him what you know. And then I would watch him and he would teach me some more. So it was a great learning experience. I mean, right. He was such a good coach. He was so patient. He was knowledgeable, but he wasn't, he knew kids. Right. He knew, you know, he studied, he read, he watched some film. But he knew kids and he knew how to communicate with them and talk to them and help them believe in what they could do.
I think that is probably the biggest factor in getting kids motivated is knowing them.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we all coaches, we all want to be successful and we all want to do well. I had some great professors at the University of New Mexico, and one of them, you know, said, hey, once you know kids and what they want, we know they want to do better. They don't want to make mistakes. They want to be as, you know, get PRs and they'd like to win every race. And we know that they can't always do it, but they learn from it. And when they're able to learn from a defeat, a loss, a bad practice, a bad race, you know, something that goes wrong, and then learn how to redirect and just take that confidence that was just damaged a little bit and bring it back again and just, you know, just take them where they were and then build from there again. Just continue to give that confidence and build young kids as they come up. I mean, you know, that's the thing. You know, I heard you with an interview with Jasmine Turtle Morales. You know, how did she start? I started as a young, you know, youth track, and I liked the coaches. You know, they were giving her confidence. And then but pretty soon, they give her strength, and then she takes whatever strength she has. And you take those athletes. They want to do things. And it's just helping them grow, giving them boundaries, taking them out of their comfort zone. They don't like that. Who likes that, you know? Right. But I tell them, I'm taking you out of your comfort zone. You know, we're not just going to do this soft. And when you start whining about it, you know, we're going to talk about it and then come back and show you where you're going to continue to grow and get stronger. And, you know, they gather that force within them and they start becoming better.
That's some great advice.
Well, I mean, you know, I was taught that and... you know, you go to clinics. I know that you,
right.
You go to a lot and you hear certain people talk and you can take a lot from a clinic and you can take just little pieces of it. You know, you as a coach, we have to take, I can't take whatever I heard from one person and make it me. I can take parts of that. And when I find out hey, you know, he's saying something that I need to factor in a little more, and you just build upon it, and and again, it's to help our programs get better and help these young athletes in what they're trying to get better at.
Absolutely, you know, when your dad finally retired and you got the program, how much was he still helping you with that?
I mean, for as long as he was alive. All right, and he passed about 4 years ago. He was always there in support, and he would, you know, we would have talks, and I could be nervous and all, and he would calm, you know, in his calming way. He'd always say, "Hey, you're doing a good job. You know, these kids like you. You're working hard at it." He said, "When I was there, it was a lot easier. You know, you've got a lot of the things, you know, happening with the kids and all." But just stay calm, you know, keep going. And he always gave me that. And I try and tell coaches that too. You know, you're doing a good job because you're there with those kids and you're helping them.
Right. And I've definitely heard you telling coaches that at different meets and events. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great message to be giving back.
You know, a lot of times you don't have to know a tremendous amount of things about a certain event because you can learn it. But I think the biggest thing is being there for that athlete. And nowadays we have a lot of pressures. You know, you have parents, you have other coaches, you have other kids, you know, you have books, they're saying, "Hey, it's telling me to do this and somebody's this," and you don't know that, but you're there with the athlete. And you're there day to day helping them. That makes a big impact on them, because once they're, it's hard to do it by yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, so you keep working. That's where my dad, you know, helped me a lot. You know, don't worry about the other things. You're there working with them. Have a plan. Stick with it. Adjust it. All right, and keep talking to the kids.
It sounds like your dad was definitely supportive of you. Did you ever feel pressure when you took over the track program after all the success he had? Did you feel pressure that you needed to continue that success?
Oh, at first I thought, oh no, I'm ready for this, you know. And I mean, I was ready in some aspects, but the pressure didn't bother me at first. And I think, you know, it took about, here I go into this winning thing, but it took probably about 5 years before we won. You know, before I had my first state championship as a head coach. But along the way, I was, you know, gaining more knowledge and experience, learning about how to, you know, motivate, put things together. So there did come a time when there was some pressure, you know, on this. And then later I just learned, and he said, "Hey, you're doing good. You got these kids going." And it took me a while to figure that out. You know, yeah, I wanted to win it, and we were after the state title. And you know, when you have it within your grasp, I think you need to try to take that and do the best you can,
right,
to get your kids in the right places. And there were some times that, I knew we couldn't win a state championship. But if we could be in the top three, if we could be second, if fifth was our spot, the thing was to try not to go back any. You know, just do the best that you can with these kids, put them in the right places, and get them ready for the season, for them to enjoy it, have some victories, have some wins. You know, just because we didn't win the state championship doesn't mean that we didn't have people on the podium,
right,
one through sixth. Or kids that didn't make the podium that had a better time, right, did a PR, had a better jump, better throw, okay? Or was the champion.
I think that's a great message, again, to send those kids and focus on those successes. Is that how you kind of continued to keep that success for about 30 years of coaching, but just focusing on the positive and focusing on the successes?
Yeah, but you focus on the negatives too. I mean, when you see things that aren't going well, okay, it's how we pick that up, and we take some of those that are, you know, and I don't mean a negative totally, but your kids come out and all of a sudden practices aren't going well. Things aren't going well at home. School's getting hard. And, of course, I always tell them, you know, school's not really hard if you keep up with it and do, you know, some of the things that you need to do. And you know that.
Absolutely.
As a teacher, and you know that as a father. But it's all putting things in proportions, and also priority. Number one, your education. Number two, this is a privilege to be out here, all right? The program's there for them. Okay, now let's figure out how we can keep you here running with us. What's it going to take? All right. What's going on at home? How can we help, you know? But ultimately that child's got to, you know, communicate with their family, communicate with their teachers, communicate with their friends. All right. And then come out and enjoy the time at practice. I mean, like I said, I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone,
right,
but it's only for a moment. You know, and then we're going to come and we're going to talk and you're going to be with your friends and let's make it, hey, I like being there and it's fun running in a meet. And oh my gosh, you know, I got this huge race and I don't know if I can beat this person or we're going to battle. That's the fun of it. All right. And when we get them to believe that,
right,
yeah, hey, I don't care if you don't win this race. What I care is that you're prepared and you're excited about running. And when you are, chances of you winning that race have just multiplied.
You've probably had these types of discussions hundreds, thousands of times with these kiddos. Is there any athlete that sticks out to you, whether because you know that message stuck for an event or it stuck for their life or just... You knew you made that impact on?
To name athletes, we could sit here at Highland and name a lot of them. You know, like I said, there's 121 that were probably champions that were, you know, were on the podium and all. Name a ton of them. And a lot of them, you know, the fun of it was during the season and watching the great ones. And the great ones were all of them. I mean, you know, they would work hard, but some would work harder.
Right.
All right. And you could get groups to that. You just say, man, this is fun. It's not so hard. These guys are working hard. They're doing things that I've never done with anybody else. But each group had their little factions of what they did.
Right.
All right. So you had that. But some of the things were like, all of a sudden, how does somebody run in a 400 8/10 of a second faster, a second, you know, 1/110 faster? How does somebody in the half mile go from who's never really competed well, who's probably best was 212, and all of a sudden runs 203 and misses going to state by, you know, a yard? A meter,
right?
But you see that, and you go, where did that come from? You know, and you talk to them. What happened? Oh, coach, is going to be my last race, and I just, you know, and you're going, oh my goodness, you know. Or you see a shot putter throw a foot farther, just things like that. You know, it's just it amazes you, and you go, what happened? You know. It wasn't me. It's something that came out of this person, you know, that because they wanted something, and it was amazing.
You know, I can already think of a couple of those instances myself in my short career, and you're right. It just sticks with you,
mm-hmm.
And there's a feeling of that that's just, again, not for yourself, but for that kid.
Oh yeah, and then yeah, and you watch a team, and they all go up to these kids, but there's, you know, there's a lot of those. That's what's so great about track, right. 19 events,
right?
19 different races where something like that can happen, and you know, there's going to be the disappointments too,
right?
And that's why I always say, you know, the podium in track and field. In swimming and diving and you know, wrestling, because that's such a combative one-on-one sport. But, you know, track, you've got 8 in a lane. There could be more, you know, in the distance race.
Right.
And you look at the outcome, and you see who's on that podium. And if there's 6 spots, there's, you know, there's 7-8 different stories, because, you know, who's on there, who won, was it the favorite? Who's sitting in fourth place? Is it a freshman? Is it a sophomore? Okay, who's coming up?
Right.
What happened? You know, who should have been on that podium that, you know, didn't run well, or who ran, you know, exceptionally well to get there? So there's so many stories that on that final, it's amazing.
No, I agree. That's actually part of my motivation in starting this is. There's so many runners out there, and everyone's got a story. You know, you're talking just a minute ago about 19 different events,
mm-hmm.
and to really take a state championship in track, you've got to have athletes in all 19 areas for the most part. How did you find kids to fill in all of those spots?
Well, yeah, it'd be nice if you had 19, right?
Right.
Okay, so we know that doesn't quite happen, you know. You go into the season, you put kids in events, and you know, you have the building and so on. And some areas, you know, there's just going to be 6 athletes that are, you know, better than yours, you know, or you just didn't work with your athlete well enough to get there. Time-wise constraints and, you know, just things like that. So look at New Mexico. Sprinting is a big part. 12 events, I think, you know, are somewhat in that running. So you've got sprinters, right. You know, from 100 to 400, they can run to, you know, 4 relays, so on. Your distance, you know, could be in three events, possibly, right. And so on. You break it off like that and just hope that you have enough and the quality to... to make an impact on that state meet. Now, if you don't, you know, if you're not going to probably have enough, well, then you concentrate on where can I put these people to be at the best level for them, you know, finish the highest that they can finish.
Right.
But along that is you're just trying to get more kids out to come out for track. All right. And, you know, we can see it in some of the schools here. Cleveland, you know, has had a lot. The Henrys do a great job.
Absolutely.
Volcano Vista, the newer schools are going to tend, you know, but it takes a coach to come out and get them. And the man that you're working with now, Dominic, he has that effect. You know, you just have certain coaches that have effect. They bring out more.
Right.
And you get more, and that can blend together. Now, if you can get some, I mean, you have to have sprinters, throwers, jumpers, and distance can always help you, you know, win some big meets.
Right. How did you manage, or did you have to manage, those multi-sport athletes with different schedules?
So maybe like, okay, you're looking at track and kids that want to play volleyball, soccer, all those other things.
Right.
Basketball. It was hard. A lot of times I tried to do it, okay? And I was probably just, you know, a lot of people tell me I can be pretty stubborn, and I am in many ways. If they wanted to, you know, I'd say, okay, let's do this, but, you know, we need you here at certain times and all. I want you to come to my practice first, you know, do some things, and then go to your other ones. And in the long run, for our group working with some of the sports, it came about where it could be soccer had the state meet when we're having ours. So, you know, are we going to have that athlete?
Right.
Are they going to pick an AAU basketball game over an important meet? A lot of times I said, if you're willing to work with us, because honestly, the club teams weren't willing to really, you know, work. They felt that they had to be there, that this was their time to get a scholarship.
Right.
And for some, maybe so. All right. For others, you know, someone had once said, all the money that you have to spend for your club sports, travel, coaches, right, uniforms, everything else, put that into putting, you know, a fund away for a scholarship, you're going to go to school, you know, academically there. But, you know, I can see that will of wanting to, you know, that illusion of, you know, trying to be, you know, a Division I athlete.
Right.
And we're here in New Mexico, not a huge population. You go to other places where, you know, just more population and a lot of athletes. Now,
right,
we have a lot that do well, but, you know, statistically, number-wise, we're not quite there. But there are a lot of good kids. So, long way around that question is, you know, I had to worry about my program, too.
Right.
You know, it was fair to the other kids. If someone was willing to work with us, and we had a few that were, and they came to our practices, and they communicated with us, and they ran with us there at the state meet, and one was a state champ. So and then he did soccer and ran track and in college also.
That's awesome, and that's, I think, a great way to work with that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're willing to work with you as well.
Yeah, but it's tough, you know, and You lose some of your athletes, but, you know, you still have the others that you're going to work with.
Right. So you coached for about 30 years.
37.
What? 37.
Because while I was going to college, I was assisting my dad.
Okay, right. Okay, so this, yeah, seven with as an assistant. So mm-hmm. 37, almost 40 years of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see changing in coaching in all those years?
Well, some of that, what we just talked about, was the dual sports, you know.
Right.
And not like being in high school, going from, say, cross country to basketball to track, or, you know, any of those three, you know, or some doing two. And just say, you know, soccer. After the high school season, then there's club season. And then they're saying, okay, club's bigger and so on. And it's kind of moved that way, you know, where everybody's specializing baseball, basketball. Right. And now there's more and more club track teams, you know, also. I think the one that used to be like the football was, hey, you've got to be lifting and all that. There, right. You know, I don't, and there is some summer stuff, and you have your 7-on-7, and it's, they're don't have as many rules as, you know, some of the soccer and the club volleyball and all the other things. And even some club tracks that, oh, I've got to go over here. So that's a change. I hear some of my friends who are coaches, you know, say, you know, kids have changed, but we all said that back then, kids have changed, but you know, a lot of it has changed with this, electronic media and so on. People like to film more, good and bad, all right, but using that as a tool, negative or positive, all right? Right, it can work both ways. With the internet and all the access to knowledge and things that are out there, I think now more people think that they do have the knowledge, but somewhere along the line, everybody has a hobby or they have a job, okay? Everybody right. has their hobby. Electricians are electricians, plumbers are plumbers, bankers are bankers, investors, teachers are teachers, and coaches. Right. I see a lot of times where there are a lot of people that have good knowledge and probably could be coaches, but there's a lot that goes into it. Then besides looking at the film and doing some X's and O's, there's a ton of other things that, you know, just because you teach it, because you can tell them something, doesn't mean that they've learned it. And right. and hopefully, and even, I mean, I've made those mistakes, but I know that there's a process to it. And I think a lot of people don't, you know, they just take, hey, I can take this team and I can take these athletes. And if I get these, you know, good ones, I can do things. I felt that same way, man. I've just come out of UNM and I'm reading all this stuff and I know it, and I'll get these kids to do that. But there's a lot of great coaches out there who study this, and they, you know, they have their relationships with their kids, their team.
Right.
All right. And they study it and they know them. What we said earlier, you know these kids, you know yep. what they want. And it's not just like knowing one or two, right. you know, you've got a bunch to work with. Even in track, as much as it's individual, there's a lot of team
right.
that goes with it. And kids are very, they can get very jealous and very, you know, and they coach isn't paying attention to me as much and so on. And you just have to learn to manage through that. And, right. and those are some of the things that other people don't. I'm going to take care of this and this person, and I'll, you know, can get them better. And maybe so, but there's a lot more that goes into, hey, just trying to win.
Absolutely.
You know, you're building young people, you're building some character, teamwork, learning to work with others and fight through adversity. Okay. Because we know that through life, it's always going to happen.
Right.
And we see it happen in, you know, in the high school arena where we're at. You know, everybody says, oh, there's this drama and stuff. And we deal with that and all the other situations that come about.
Like you said, 37 years of coaching experience. Your own, when you were a head coach, 17 top three finishes. So a lot of success there. What do you consider to be your greatest success as a track coach?
Having the relationships and working with those, the you know, the athletes that came out because they wanted to be there. I mean, teaching was fun. Yeah. I mean, that was a great job. I didn't have many bad days. You know, there were some days I thought, I'm not doing this right, and the next day they would just flow easily. Same with practice. So taking that and having the responsibility of those, you know, my athletes and those kids, yeah, that was fun, and watching them succeed. Okay, so when we won some state titles, I mean, those were great. I mean, I, you know, that was the accumulation of the year.
Right.
But my last year, we finished second. And we had only eight kids in there, and I don't know, six of them scored. I mean, they had to run a lot. We didn't have a lot of kids. And just during the season, I saw us continue to, I mean, at the beginning of the year, because a lot of them had to go to a DECA function and a college tour thing,
right.
We didn't score 1 point at the first meet.
Wow.
1 point going to Cleveland. We were goose-egged. Never happened in the, you know, the history of Highland where they didn't score a point, but we, you know, I managed to do that. as the year progressed, our kids, you know, they all came back, and we started doing, we were getting thirds and seconds in all these meets, and I was just kind of giggling because I was going, we have so few kids, and we tied for second at
wow.
the state meet. And it, I mean, it was my last year, but it was probably one of the great things in my career, you know, finishing second and just seeing how going from zero to
right.
to however many points we scored, what did we get, 50 points or something?
Wow.
And we did, but you know, it was just, that was fun. But other than that, was watching those kids and, you know, the ones who went to college after that, or even if they didn't, the ones that went on and worked and had a family and came back and say, hey, I'm doing this, and thank you, coach. Those were great things.
You know, I look around at some of these coaches. Ciccarello comes to mind, and he's been doing this forever. How did you know that it was your time? Your time was done. It was time to move on.
A couple of things, you know, and I see Chick, you know, I'm in sales now, so
right.
I'm out there with working and selling to coaches and all, and I still talk to him. I love to be at the track meets, and Jim comes in and talks. I mean, you know, he's great to talk to.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable. I mean, he's sharp. He's good. He loves what he does. He's worked with those other club teams, and
right.
he's made it work, you know, much better than I did. Okay. I see him in it, and he's for almost 50 years, you know, he loves it.
Right.
For me, the two things, number one, my dad's health was starting to go down. I needed to be with him and help him and mom and the place that he's at.
Right.
So I had a little time with him, not a lot, you know, a little more time. And, you know, I had a really good mentor and role model, Buddy Robertson, you know, and I had a few others say, hey, you'll know when it's time.
Right.
And it was kind of at that, because I think in my teaching, I was getting a little short, a little grumpy, you know, and even sometimes in the coaching. And maybe it was because, you know, I saw what the hardships that my mom was having with dad as he was, you know, kind of ailing a little bit. But yeah, he was still strong. He was in a wheelchair, couldn't do as much, you know.
Right.
So it was time to take some time off.
That seems like a good time to take that break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anybody ever came to you and said, hey, I need you, I need a coach, would you ever consider coming back?
Well, I mean, I do that a little bit. Okay. You know, I've helped some at Valley, you know, some throwers, and I'll help a lot of times coaching. You know, I have a responsibility to my boss to Jack at Garden Sports Team Sales. We know how time consuming it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do miss it. And, you know, I think about that too, you know, going back. But, you know, I'll always help wherever I can. I don't know if sometimes, you know, they go, who's this old guy coming in to help? So, but, I still enjoy that.
That's good. Is it nice to have a job where you do have some of that flexibility where you can help out a little bit and still be around the sport, talking to coaches, selling to coaches, being at events?
Oh, well, you know, I guess the fun thing is that I go out and I can be at a meet and, you know, I'm kind of working,
right.
you know, talking to them and, you know, But I wish I did have more flexibility to, you know, get off at, you know, at least 3:30 to go and to help. But, you know, I think as we teach a lot of these kids, you have responsibilities to a lot of, you know, I have a responsibility to him and that work and the things I do there. So I would enjoy doing it, but it would be, you know, moving into teaching or just coaching.
Yeah.
Again,
you've had a ton of successes and we've talked about that. What's been your biggest disappointment?
When I feel that I haven't done enough for the kids, you know, when I feel like I didn't help them enough, or I didn't get to this group of kids, you know, I didn't build enough, I didn't recruit enough, you know, and keep the program, you know, it stayed strong. There at the end, we didn't score too well for about 2 years. We were back, you know, a ways, but then we came back up, and you know, the kids that did what they were supposed to, but you know, it was down a little bit.
Right.
It hurts when some of your kids don't finish something, or you see that they haven't done too well, made some bad decisions. Those are things that hurt.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've had a lot of ups and downs through coaching, ebbs and flows through the different groups of kids that you've coached.
Mm-hmm. I have. And so hopefully there weren't too many downs.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm sure there's some that feel that I wasn't fair or something, and maybe rightfully so. You know, they have some gripe, but, you know, hopefully, you know, we both talked about it at some time, and you know, we each probably had a part in that.
How do you keep, I think you've talked about this a lot, but how do you keep an athlete motivated?
Sometimes it can be hard. You know, we say we want this to be fun, and it should be,
right?
But competition is going to bring, you know, the part of stress. So we're trying to teach to deal with stress, and stress is not a bad thing. You know, it'll make us better. You know, just providing an atmosphere that's going to be a learning atmosphere, something where they know that they have a chance of getting better at. So, hey, you know, try and get your kids to help you recruit. Come on out. We can go do this. We'll have fun, you know. And, I used to say, hey, you know, get your name in the paper. Now, not that many people read a paper anymore, but I used to always post it. I'd cut it out and post it and highlight, you know, those things and things about Highland. And, you know, if they were in a relay and they had the four, you know, you'd kind of get there. And they'd be looking at those things. So they enjoyed the bulletin board. Everybody wants to get stronger. They want their body to look better. So,
right.
You know, you just do those things and, you know, let them know that they're doing good.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I think maybe I would be so focused on getting them there that I forget to tell them that you're doing a good job along the line. But, you know, letting them know they're doing good so they want to come back and it feels good. It's like that golf swing. You've been all over the place looking for your ball, and all of a sudden on that last hole you hit a nice straight shot and say, okay, I want to come back.
Yeah, that's what still keeps you excited about the sport?
Oh man, what it was made from. I taught a class and it was a college class. I got to be a professor for a semester.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
That was interesting. Principles of teaching or coaching. And, you know, the book had, you know, a lot of it was one part of it was sportsmanship. And it said, well, why is sportsmanship important? It's because everything was built upon that, you know, the competition part of it. So, what do I love is just that competition. I used to love, I mean, I still do the sprints. They're great. You know, that 4x1 relay, it starts it off. But, man, I love watching the pole vault. I love watching them throw the shot and the javelin. And I love that 3,200-meter race, you know, before the mile relay.
Yep.
Because it's strategic. It's tactical, it's endurance and it's strength, and you can see some great races and they go, oh, that's boring, you know, 8 laps, but when you watch it, it's a great race. But the thing is the competition, You know, it's just watching those kids compete. And I learned there towards the end of my career was, you know, I was just, you know, I was trying to coach while they were running and everything. And I still would, but, you know, it was just watching them run, watching them throw was so much fun. It's like watching a great performance in the arts, you know, all the work that they put in it. So I know the work that these kids put in it, you know, how much that I do for it, not with these other coaches, you know. So, you know, you appreciate. And so when you're watching a college or you're watching the Olympics or, you know, you're watching some type of professional, you know what goes into it. So, and it's just, I love that art of competition, you know.
I can definitely hear the passion that you still have for it in the way you're talking about it, and your voice, your eyes, it's all there. And that's, I think that's what everybody should have, really.
Well, I mean, it's hard. We all want them to win, but sometimes, you know, they learn so much from when they get beat, and you like watching that come back. But that's all about, you know, that's the competition. That's why I say, go out there, come on out and throw the shot. Meet these guys that you're competing against. And see them.
I think that's great. Did you ever have a workout that was really like, it was your workout? You knew like, this is going to get the kid where they need to be, or it's going to show me where they're at, or it's just a workout that you loved to, you couldn't wait to get that workout in.
Well, you know, it's all an accumulation of that start, you know, building that base. All right. So, you know, you have that section of it. And I used to love the preseason workouts where you really only had an hour with them. You can get some nice workouts, whether it be fartlek workout, whether it be strides, and because you wouldn't do speed workout at that time.
Right.
So eventually we would get to where we'd want to do some speed work. So one of the workouts that I really loved, and we had some groups, and really the time that we ran, you know, at one time it was the fastest 4x4 where we ran 3:15, you know, at the Metro meet. But we had a workout, and it was a speed workout, and it took a long time because, you know, you should have good rest between speed, you know, reps. And, and we had sections. We had segments of 30s, and we had 60s, and and they'd walk back and take their time, and then we'd run the curve, and we would, you know, we would do those things. And it needed to be high intensity with as much rest as we could possibly give, you know, you know, we're looking at 3 minutes rest or so, but we're trying to do a good set. It could almost be a speed endurance workout. But so as we would get to this, you know, like I said, there'd be 30s, there'd be flying 30s, standing 30s, you know, on the hollow sprints, 30s, stride, 30, just different things.
Right.
But at the end of all of it, we had to come and do a 400 all out.
Nice.
Okay. And it was hard, but then I had a group of kids that just thrived on it. They wanted to do it, and we time them, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, you hardly could ever get a kid running 51 or something, you know. And I'm there's a variance here, but they would go at it as hard as they could, you know. And we'd do it one at a time, and I'd time them. And they knew that time, and it was them trying to beat the other guy. But it was, you know, at first they'd say, "You're crazy." And then it was, the craziness got into them.
Right.
To where, so it was fun.
Yeah.
It was, well, you know, we didn't do that. You couldn't do that maybe two or three times a year.
Right.
But it was fun trying to build that into their head.
Right.
That they could do that and run that fast after that much, you know.
Right, showing them that they're still fast even if they're tired and pushing through that.
Because they do it, and, you know, they do it, and you look at the state meet, that final, there's some damn good times.
Right.
Splits.
And you're building in that competition with each other in a fun way.
In a fun way, in a two-day meet. you know, the process of all the work that you've done that season
right.
comes down to that last race.
Yeah.
You know, of whatever they're running. So
what would you say to a kid or a new coach who they're new to coaching or they want to get into coaching? What would you tell them?
Have a plan. Okay. You know, have your philosophy down, but be planned every day. Okay. And don't wait till, you know, 10 minutes before. And each year it'll get better. Okay. Your plan will get better, but you know, sit down and put down what you want to do. Okay. And put down enough there that you can get done for all your practices. And then you have to reevaluate it. Now, you know, if you're new to it, it can be difficult, you know, so learn from others. All right. Don't look on the internet and say, oh, I'm going to do that workout. Okay. And then I'm going to come back this day and do that workout. Know why you're doing it. Know your kids, because a lot of them can't, you know, do that. Don't, you know, set expectations, but don't make them, you know, they say, all the founders that were before me
right.
and the teachers and the coaches set realistic goals. Realistic. Okay.
Yeah.
Set goals. Set them high. Set them realistically. Know your kids. If you know your kids that we talked about earlier, you'll know what they can do and what they need, you know, to do that. So for that new coach, you know, talk to others. Have a role model. Don't think you can do it all yourself, because eventually you will. You know, you'll get there, but you're still going to learn. But have that stuff written down, and you know, set it. I mean, each week can pretty much be the same for. But then you have to change it as you know, as their levels change, and as you get towards the warmer weather and the bigger meets and so on. But have a good plan, stay with it. You know, adjust it and learn from others. And learn from your kids, because they're going to, you'll see how they're responding to your workouts.
Right.
Too easy, too hard. And then teach them. You know, there's so many things in track.
Right.
I don't know. That's the next thing. You teach them how to run correctly. You know, before you get into the strategies, you know, they have to learn. You know, I've had a lot of coaches say, you know, the 400, all one lap. But it takes a lot of one lap races to learn how to run that.
Right.
Yeah, it's a hard race.
It is.
Or it can be real easy if you run it slow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the baseball coaches, oh, you guys just say, keep turning left. And
yeah.
I tell the baseball guys, all right, you want to turn left. You get tired of being thrown out or getting struck out.
Yeah.
You want to turn left and get back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, what's your song to get you motivated?
I did look at that question of yours.
Yeah,
you know? And there's three of them that I kind of think of. One's by Manfred Mann, The Runner, old song.
Yeah.
In the Air Tonight.
It's a good
Phil
one.
Collins.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend and I were kidding about this, but I call it Put Me in Coach.
Oh,
but it's center field.
Center field. That is a good one.
But it's always Put Me in Coach.
Yeah.
I said that should be the name of that song.
That yes, it should be. That's a good one. That's a classic one.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. It was a great conversation. Thank you,
Sebastian,
Coach.
Sebastian, thanks. Good luck with this, okay?
All right, thank
All
you.
Right. Bye.
Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.